Welcome to Torah Deimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 46. In the last parak, Yirmiyahu explains to Baruch ben Neriah that he could not become a Navi, as the Jewish people did not need him to be a Navi. In this parak, we begin the Nevuos directed to the other nation, which, according to the Malbim, were dictated to Baruch ben Neriah. These nations were mentioned in Perek Tezat Vav, Chapter 15, when Yirmiyahu symbolically passed around a cup of destruction to them. Now that this Sefer has concluded with the story of how Yerushalayim was destroyed and how its people were exiled, the Navi informs us of the fate of the other nations who fought Nebuchadnezzar or who betrayed Yehuda. The Perek begins by introducing to us what will be happening in the next few prakim. Verse 1. Asher haya dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu Navi al Hagayim. The word of Hashem, which came to Yirmiyahu the prophet, about the nations. These nevuos came over a span of time and are not happening now. The following six prakim will discuss the nations in the immediate vicinity of Yehuda. This parak begins with Egypt and is divided into two parts. The first part is from verses 2 to 13, which are about verse 2, Al-Khel Paro Necho Melech Mitzrayim, about the army of Paro Necho, the king of Egypt, Asher Haya Al-Pnahar Pras Bekarkamish, who is next to the Euphrates River in Carchemish. This battle took place in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, which was the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Yoshiahu. The second part of the parak is about a battle which is yet to come, when Nebuchadnezzar enters and conquers the lands of Egypt itself. We begin the parak at Carchemish, a strategic location located on the Euphrates. For over 4 years, Paro kept traversing the lands of Israel so he could fight Babel, which was ruled at the time by Nebuchadnezzar's father. The two nations kept winning and losing territory around the Euphrates. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar took over from his father and put an end to the Egyptian threat once and for all. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Egyptian army and took over all the lands of Hamas, which is now Syria. Verse 3. The Nevuah gives Paro some military advice. Irchu magen v'tzina ugeshu l'melchama. Prepare a shield and a buckler and come close to war. We can only imagine all the soldiers decked out in their uniforms looking fierce and ready. Yirmiyahu continues and paints an image of a powerful and proud army with horses and riders and spears and coats of mail. They look so prepared, yet Yirmiyahu has visions of these warriors beaten and scattered in retreat. This powerful army had the most impressive transport system with horses and chariots that was the envy of all the kingdoms. Yet, verse 6, Al yanus hakal va'al yimalei hagibor. The swift cannot flee, nor the mighty man escape. There is nowhere for this mighty army to go, and they can't run fast enough away from the army, who will destroy them by the Euphrates River, by the Nahar Pras. Yirmiyahu asks a rhetorical question, verse 7. Mizeh kaya'or ya'aleh. Who is like the Nile River that rises up? The pride of the Egypt was the Nile River. Each year, the Nile would rise and flood the surrounding lands. This force of nature gave Egypt all their prosperity and wealth. The Egyptians prided themselves that they were like the Nile. They could overwhelm any lands around them. They thought, verse 8, Mitzrayim kayor ya'aleh v'chanaharos yisgo'ashu mayim. Egypt is like the Nile that rises up, and like the rivers whose waters toss themselves. Paro says about himself, Aleh achase eret ovida ir v'yosheva. I will rise up. I will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants in it. Paro viewed himself as the aggressor. He always subdued the nations around him, be it Israel or the Plishtim, and he would do the same to Nebuchadnezzar at Carchemish. Yirmiyahu continues to encourage and mock the Egyptians and tells them that even if they bring all their military might with their fancy horses and allies from the other nations and their confidence, they will be destroyed because, verse 10, Hayom hahu l'Hashem Elokim Tzvakos, yom nekama l'hinakim mitzarav. For Hashem shall have on that day a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. The day is coming where Hashem will avenge the death of Yoshiahu, who was killed because Paro Necho wanted the ability to go through Israel to fight Nebuchadnezzar. The army of Paro will be slaughtered by the Kastim, and their blood will flow. The battle will be fought and won near the Euphrates River. Yirmiyahu addresses Mitzrayim with sarcasm. He says in verse 11, Ali Gilad Ukhi Tsari, go up into Gilad and take a balm, Besulas Bas Mitzrayim, O virgin daughter of Egypt. Gilad was the pharmaceutical capital at that time. Yirmiyahu is mocking Egypt and saying, Oh, are you sick, you young maiden, who is like a Besula, a virgin, because you never lost a battle? Why don't you go to CVS and get a first aid kit? You can't, right? Because nothing will heal you. L'shav hir beis refuos. To Allah ein lach. In vain do you use many medicines. There is no cure for you. Egypt has no allies who will rush in and save them from their complete rout, and they will be conquered. Instead, word of their defeat will spread far and wide. That verse 12, Ki gibor b'gibor kashalu yachtav naflu shnehem. For the mighty man stumbled against the mighty man. They are fallen, both of them together. We can imagine the battle scene. These soldiers come decked out as wealthy soldiers, and things don't go their way. They all start to flee, and they trip over each other, and they cause each other to be injured and killed. Through their hasty retreat, they all collapse together. Verse 13 through the end of the parak begins a description of another battle between Egypt and Nebuchadnezzar. This battle will take place in Egypt proper. There is a debate whether this battle takes place before Nebuchadnezzar's fifth year on the throne, or if this is the final battle much later in the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to announce in the most important cities in Mitzrayim, in Migdal, in Nov, which are the fortified cities, and in Tahpanhes, which is a royal city, to prepare for the destruction that is coming. They should not wonder why such a strong nation is able to be overthrown, even with all their soldiers and fortifications and horses. Verse 15, Lo amad ki Hashem hadafo. He stood not because Hashem threw him down. It may seem like a natural battle, but verse 16, Hirba koshel gam nafal ishal reihu. He made many stumble. They fell one upon another. There was such chaos and internal strife within the army that all the mercenary soldiers and allies abandoned the army right then to return to their homelands, Mipnei Cherev Hayona, from the oppressing sword from Nebuchadnezzar. For most of history, Egypt had been the safe haven with a consistent food supply and secure borders. It was never attacked, and it always had food because of the Nile, so it attracted foreigners who came to live in its land. Now, the land will be in upheaval. This will be done to avenge Egypt for having pressured and coerced Yehuda into paying them tribute and rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar. Egypt abandoned Yehuda and did not help them in their hour of need. Now, they will be abandoned in their hour of need. The people in Egypt first look at what is going on, and they assume that Paro can help them, as he always has. First, they say, verse 17, Kar'u sham Paro melech Mitzrayim sha'on. They cried there, Paro, king of Egypt, is a noise. Paro was frightening. He was a powerhouse. They attributed a lot of power to him. They said that Paro would come out with his noise and strong army and resolve the issue. Then, as Bavel advances and advances, they realize, Ha'avir ha-moed, he has let the appointed time to pass. Paro is not solving this problem. Hashem then swears that Mitzrayim will be destroyed. He compares Egypt to the mountain of Tavor and to the mountain Carmel by the sea. Just like those geological formations are not moving, that is how certain it is that Egypt will be sent into Galus. Hashem tells them that they should give up now, and verse 19, Klei gola asilach yosheves bats Mitzrayim. Prepare for yourself vessels to be used while being exiled, like pillows or a pot that they could travel with, because their land will be destroyed and they will be exiled. Yirmiyahu describes what it will be like when Mitzrayim is destroyed by using a visual metaphor. Yirmiyahu compares the land of Egypt to a young calf. He says, Egla yefei fi ha-Mitzrayim. Egypt was a fat calf. Karen mitzafon vava. The destruction from the north is really coming. A calf is held in a cage, so its muscles are wasted and get soft. The enemy is coming from the north and will slaughter Egypt quickly as if it is a fat cow with no muscles. Egypt is being protected by fat calves as well. Egypt always hired mercenaries who had the reputation as fierce warriors to protect its wealth and its borders. But verse 21, Gam sechareha kirba ke'egle marbeik. Also her mercenaries in the midst of her are like calves of the stall. When the eventual day of calamity comes, the mercenaries they hired will fail. These mercenaries became weak and lazy, and so when the challenge arose, they didn't put up a fight. Instead, they returned to their original lands, abandoning Egypt just when they needed help. Yirmiyahu compares Egypt to another animal, to the snake, verse 22, Kolo kanachash elech. Its voice will go like that of a snake. The snake is not well known for its voice. The Malbim, quoting Chazal, say that Yirmiyahu is hinting to the most famous snake, to the snake who caused Adam to sin. As a punishment for encouraging Chav to sin, the snake lost its legs. This nation of Egypt caused Yehuda to sin, similar to what the snake did, by encouraging them. Egypt will lose its legs. They will never again be powerful enough to leave their country and conquer any other lands outside of their borders. Yirmiyahu continues that the Babylonians will attack them like arbel, locusts, another animal metaphor, and swarm and devour the land. Verse 24, Hovishavas Mitzrayim, the daughter of Egypt is put to shame. This nation was not used to losing. They had defeated Babel at times. Now they were being completely wiped out. Shem won't spare any power in Egypt. Not the richest cities like No, which eventually became Alexandria. Not Paro, not the idols, not the nobility. Anything that was considered to be a power in Egypt will be decimated to avenge for Yoshiyahu's death, which cut off the only leadership that Yehuda had. Nebuchadnezzar will conquer Egypt. However, after only a bit of time in the span of history, the Egyptians will find their way back to their land and Nebuchadnezzar will leave. This news is challenging for Yehuda to hear. They see Egypt conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, which they related to, and then that other country, who has been punished before and caused them such pain, returns from exile while they are still stuck in the lands of Babel. Yirmiyahu comforts them that this does not mean Hashem is rejecting them. Verse 27, Vata, and you, Al tira avdi Yaakov, do not fear my servant Yaakov, Va'al techas Yisrael, and Yisrael, do not be dismayed. Hashem then shares words of comfort that are so beautiful in their promise for the future. Ki hinini moshi'acha merachok, I will save you from afar. Wherever you are, I'm going to bring you back. Ve'zaracha me'eretz shivyam, and your children from the land of their captivity. No matter where we are, or how dangerous of a situation we are in, Hashem will bring us back and bring us back to the land of Israel. Vishav Yaakov Vishakat Vishanan Vein Macharid. And Yaakov shall again be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. This promise of Geula is exactly what the people were seeking to gain when they went down to Egypt and were looking for peace and serenity. They will only find it after Egypt is destroyed. Yirmiyahu repeats the sweetest words, verse 28. Ata, you, Al tira avdi Yaakov, don't be afraid, my servant Yaakov, who serves me and takes and does my commands. Ki itcha ani, I, my Shechina, is with you. Egypt may have returned from its exile, but Hashem is with us in Galus. Even though we suffer and are so vulnerable to our host countries, ki e'esachala b'chol hagayim asher hidachti shama, I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you. We have lived in Rome and Greece and Egypt. None of them are still here. Va'oscha lo a'esek ha'chala, but I will not make a full end of you. Only the Jew survives. V'yisarticha l'mamishpat v'nakei lo anakeka, and I will correct you by measure, but will not utterly destroy you. Our suffering is for a purpose, to help us grow and learn. In this parak, Yirmiyahu first tells Egypt that they will be conquered in Carchemish, and then later that they will be driven from their land before they return from exile. The Jewish people will witness these events and wonder, what about us? Hashem promises that we will never be destroyed and we will be gathered in from our exile wherever we may be. This is an important lesson to remember as we survive the Galus. To quote Mark Twain, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other people have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burns out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? We know the answer. As the Perek says, Al tira avdi Yaakov, do not be afraid, my servant Yaakov, ki itcha ani, for I am with you. Thank you for studying together, L'Ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.